And I think we need this. We need this feeling of, I got this, on many levels. And it always starts with us. I love drawing parallels between me and the world, because what's inside is a mirror to what's outside. So my inner mess may be my outer mess, and in my case now, my menopause spills into many areas.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com and, of course, from understandingautoimmune.com, where you'll find over 460-plus episodes of the show. And tonight I have a dear friend on, and I'm really excited because I always have a great time with her. Let me introduce you to her. I'm going to read her bio because it's an amazing bio and I want you to hear it all. Her name is Barbara Whitman, and she's the CEO of IT Zeitgeist. She's an expert in digital leadership and aligns people and technology for sustained global success. And one of the things I love about Barbara is she sees connections that most people don't see, and she makes it simple and very strategic. She's also an award-winning author of Meetings in Moccasins, and she helps organizations with effective digital transformation, smarter global expansion, mitigating risk, and leveraged IT. Now, she runs her own private practice and works with top global SAP retailer consultant and a key member of the SAP business process renovation team. I also want to say she holds multiple patents, too. She's a longtime friend. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for having me.
Now, the reason I wanted you on was I saw in Forbes your wonderful article called Navigating the Parallels, Digital Transformation and the Menopause Journey. Now, I know community, you're like going, what? What? I'm telling you, she had some amazing parallels that not just parallel menopause, parallel autoimmune and health, and I think parallel life. And so all nine of your little factors, I was like, that just applies into so many areas of one's life. I don't know. Maybe this is just you, Barbara. I've never asked you this question. What I love is you're able to take very, on the surface, very different things and find the parallels. Is that a trainable skill or is that just you?
No, I believe it is a trainable skill. And I think it's a skill that everyone needs in this world, because we do need to find the connections between things, right? This is where the magic happens. This is where innovation happens. And when you find the connection, that's when you can find similarities, common ground. You can start talking. Connecting things that may not be connected at first sight kind of jolt people awake, right? You get their attention. And that's what I love doing.
And that's what you're really skilled at. And what I love, and I'm thinking about it, is as I'm trying to draw parallels to things, it often releases some fear inside me. Oh, I was able to do that over there, and it's very similar to what I'm being challenged with over here. And I find that it calms me down, and I have clearer thinking around things. And so I'm thinking about when I'm not feeling well or something like that in my wellness journey, I can often tell myself, this is really similar to what we had to do 2 years ago, or this is what we did over here. And I'm able to go, okay, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think we need this. We need this feeling of, I got this on many levels. And it always starts with us. I love drawing parallels between me and the world, because what's inside is a mirror to what's outside. So my inner mess may be my outer mess. And in my case now, my menopause spills into many areas.
I think that's true for a lot of us. And we could say autoimmune spills into many areas too. But one thing I loved, you have 9 common parallels. I'm sure there's plenty more, but these 9, I just nodded all the way along, including 1, the knowing nod. And I have to read this guy, so I have to get in close to the screen. Oh my goodness. And that's the part of the menopause aging thing too. You have to get closer to the screen, right? Both digital transformation and menopause have become buzzwords. And when brought up in conversation, everyone seems to nod knowingly. However, truth be told, until you're in the thick of it, you're in the whirlwind of surprise and confusion. And I love that. That's so true. There's this start of, as I mentioned and we talked about a moment ago, this knowing nod, or this is similar to. But I wanted to talk to you about the whirlwind of surprise and confusion, because that really intrigued me. One of the things I teach when I'm doing my communication work is that surprise is usually the enemy of competence. My longtime mentor, Michael Grinder, always used to tell me, whatever you can do to alleviate surprise makes you much more competent.
That's an interesting, I've never heard of that. But yeah, I think it makes you vulnerable. Surprise makes you vulnerable.
And what are some things that you do to overcome this whirlwind of surprise and confusion? You're one of the most strategic people I've ever met. So I just want to pick your brain, because I don't like being surprised on any level, whether it's at work or it's in the doctor's office or if it's at home.
So first of all, I'm trying to understand things, right? I'm loving digging into things about me and uncovering new stuff that I didn't know. So when my body is doing odd things, I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I'm trying to look at it with a positive angle. Because if I say that is super annoying, I'm going into the self-hate spiral and I really don't need this. I can find many other reasons to beat up on myself. So I need to look at the positive thing first. I always look at it, wow, that's interesting. And then I'm like, I wonder what's behind it. So I go into surprise with curiosity. And this is a childlike feature. And I love watching my little nieces exploring the world, and I can learn so much with them, right? We've totally forgot it, especially once we hit a certain age. It's like the whole exploration thing is done with. So we need to uncover and get back to it. That's also how I look at my work. I could go into projects when I take them on and I can say, what a mess, right? Or I can look at it as an amazing adventure. And layers of treasure hunting.
I love that. Layers of treasure hunting. That's fantastic. And I did not know this about us. We've known each other for quite a while. I have this little file in my head called the Isn't That Interesting file. And when I don't understand something, I just file it in the interesting file until I can figure it out.
Yeah. Yes. And I also have to say, the knowing nod is one thing, but it gets even worse, especially with this whole term of menopause or other buzzwords. People sweet talk it. I don't know what it is about selective memory. It's either like the, you're going to get through it, right? Suck it up. Yay. Or they say, it wasn't an issue with me. Never.
I hear that with autoimmune too, especially if from medical professionals who may think they're experts in it, but have never lived it. A lot of this, it's not that bad, or the side effects are not that bad. And you come back later and lost all your hair or something. It's like, let me choose my side effect. Yeah. So yeah, I think that knowing nod is interesting to me. Is it a real knowing nod? And as you begin to know someone, you go, yeah, they really get it. Or is it just a nicety where someone just brush off?
It's covering up, because a lot of people would be like, boy, I don't get it. Can you explain it to me? We don't really have the safe spaces to do that, because usually you are coming across these words, what, in casual conversations or in other situations where I don't know if I can ask that. Maybe I'm going to look totally stupid here.
And I'm thinking of certain topics, especially around wellness being menopause included. There are lots of places where I just don't feel it's something to bring up. They might see a little sweat rolling down my brow and give me the knowing nod if they're a woman of a similar age. However,
yes,
it's not really brought up, like, shall we go for a walk out on the balcony to cool off, or something like that. It's interesting how There's this knowing nod, but not a deeper recognition or a deeper connection of, do you need help? Are you okay? Will you be okay or whatever? And I really get cranky when people try to tell me how their journey was, is no big deal, whether it's menopause or autoimmune or pregnancy or whatever it is. You get these people like, I sailed through it. Or the other side is the absolute horror stories where they tell you that it was a decade of no sleep and constant sweat.
I was in a meeting this week and a group of people, this one guy comes in and he says, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm just getting over a really bad cold. I'm totally exhausted. If I'm acting cranky, that's why. And I'm like, that's my cue. I'm like, hey, just want to give you a heads up. I'm in menopause. If I'm acting cranky, never mind.
I can't see you doing that. Like I said, we go way back. In fact, I actually had to start the beginning of the show over. She had me laughing so hard, but go ahead.
I'm starting to play with it. It's fun. And it's a journey. It's, wow, what am I now? Am I like just crawling up on the hill? Am I over the hill? Am I like going towards sunset? Where am I? So it's an entire exploration piece. And it's really cool. And there's also an opening into, man, I'm now like at the stage of, I could become the wise one. I can also take a turn on this and I can become somebody that is more in the mentor function, that actually is a role model to people.
You're already a role model to many people, but yeah, you could take that mantle. Thank on you. You're well experienced with the concept of it.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that we've got enough time because I could talk about one of these. I want to cover them all. And so number two is no one size fits all approaches. And I love that because I think that's so true in any of our medical care. Not just our digital transformation or our menopause journey. However, I've noticed that many medical professionals are all or nothing. You take this medication, do it yeah. my way or the highway kind of approach. And that's not how any of us are wired.
Absolutely. And it's the bucketized thinking, right? It's got to be a cure somewhere. Okay. I need to dip into this and I can give you this and then we're all cool. And everybody's different. And I'm also very critical about, in my professional life, the standard consulting approach, because it doesn't fit always, right? I cannot pull out the magic thing and shake my snow globe and say, whoa, now it's all going to be peachy. That's what people want, but it never works. It's the same when it's about my body. Yes, I can look for the external support, but I cannot demand a solution, a single point solution, right? It's always about, I have to do the work too. I cannot just go to a doctor and, you know, hold out my hand and say, give me something. It's got to be a fix. Give me the pill, the one thing that fixes it. And it's not there. It's a combination of behavior change. I got to do my part. Of course, I want to consult with a doctor and check certain things, but maybe there's homeopathic things. And it's a combination thing. What works for me may not work for somebody else.
I also want to throw in trusting your gut. I know you yeah. do believe in that as well. It's okay. Just trusting that little part of you going, something doesn't feel quite right, or something isn't, there's just something that isn't gelling with me, that so I need to explore over there to see what that's about.
And it's also about breaking up my patterns of thought. If I have believed all my life that only the doctor can help me or only this is going to do me good, that all needs to be challenged. So I need to be willing to look at it from all different angles. If you had asked me several years ago, I would have said I would rather drop dead before I would cut out my coffee in the morning or my beer. Hey, I'm from Bavaria. Fully expect this. Like, it's pulling part of my identity away. But at this part in my life, it is not gelling well with my body anymore. I have to change my patterns and behaviors and also my attitude.
That's a good point. And that's not always easy. Sometimes I get this evil little twin on my shoulder that tries to lure me back into the other ways, the sugar pathway or the mine, if not coffee, mine is tea, lures me back into those sorts of things. And which, oddly, this to me corresponds with number three, which is the infinite learning curve. I love that. Mm-hmm. And getting, the older I get, I'm finding that more of my friends are like not wanting to explore the infinite learning curve anymore. They're pretty set. Okay, I'm good here. And what I'm noticing is I'm more and more intrigued by this infinite learning curve the closer I get to the end of the line.
And I think that is so important because that's what makes us stuck as people, as society, as the world, because everything around us is moving and evolving. In nature, there's only two things. You either grow or you die. Which you pick, there is no in-between. And we always, as people, think there is an in-between, right?
We want an in-between, at least.
Yeah.
Well, one sounds like work, and the other sounds like, yeah, no way, either or. But it's true that in nature, you either grow or you die. I do, for humans, want to put in there, there's some play in there. There's some subcategories in there. It's not as black and white as that. Now, this one is really important to me, and the correspondence I see with it in the autoimmune, this happened early on when I heard the word dermatomyositis, which is one of my diagnoses. I didn't know what the word meant. And number four, you wrote overwhelmed by data. Mm-hmm. And I made the mistake after I heard the word and left the doctor's office, because I think my ears closed up. I heard a word, their body language was pretty solemn, so sorry kind of thing. I think my ears closed up. So what do? I go to Dr. Internet right away.
No.
I was immediately overwhelmed by scary statistics and all sorts of things that, you know, with that diagnosis, this number of people developed this and that. And I'm just like, that was scary. And I don't think that was wise. And I didn't think about being overwhelmed by the data. I was overwhelmed by the need to know, what does that word mean to me?
Right. And then it's the question, how much do we dig into it? And Dr. Google is a fun companion. But boy, if you are in a shaky spot and you're vulnerable as it is, not really helping. So it's about being selective, right? What is the data I'm filtering out and what is really supporting me? Because otherwise it can be crushing. Typing in menopause, all sorts of things come up that you have brain fog and to read about people that could not work and function anymore. It's, oh my God.
No, I know it's similar to many things where all of a sudden the worst horror stories come up, or the worst sort of what I'll call fairyland stories come up too, which maybe if you're lucky that you don't have any experience whatsoever and you breeze through it, great for you, but that's not how the majority of the people on the bell curve go through it. And also on the other side of the bell curve, maybe you've had the most horrendous and check off all of the symptoms on every checkbox. And that's not how it is for most people either. Yet, when I was reading about my autoimmune condition, I immediately was drawn, I think, somehow fell into those worst data points, those worst horror stories. Oh my gosh. And it really took a while to sort that all out and to come back to who I truly am. And I think I'm truly an optimistic person. And I'm also someone who takes charge of my own health, my own life. And sometimes it's easy to get thrown off course by this number four, overwhelmed by data, because I started questioning, maybe they're right. I didn't want them to be right. And that's not who my true nature is. But that did it. That little evil twin on my shoulder popped up and said, they could be right.
Correct. So data is a blessing and a curse at the same time, right? It can swallow you whole, or you come at it from a different angle and you learn how to ask the right questions. And then data can be absolutely beneficial, right? If you are coming in and asking Dr. Google about dietary changes to avoid menopause symptoms, then it actually is super helpful.
Yeah, it's knowing the right question. But I think that's law of life. The better the question, the better the output, the better the outcome, the better the knowledge, the better the question. This is fantastic. It just molds right into number five, partial truths. And I found that oftentimes with partial truths, especially in a medical diagnosis, it's not like there was an untruth. It was that it was more of a unknown. I don't know. My own private personal health care provider, the MD, the overall family practitioner. He knew enough to diagnose and send me to a dermatologist, but he'd never seen a case himself. So it wasn't that it was an untruth, but he only had part of the truth. And I found that part equally interesting of taking away the black and white thinking of mine of it's either untrue or true.
And then you feel a little bit handed off, right? It's, oh, wait, what? That's the person I trust. And we want to have the single point of truth. And in reality, it doesn't exist. So we still do have to do the legwork and fill in the gaps. It doesn't mean that people are not qualified or anything, but they do just have a certain angle of the truth to the problem, right? And it's on us to find all the pieces and then put it together. And then you can go back and you can ask different questions.
Here we're back to the quality of the questions, aren't we, Barbara?
Yeah.
Because number six is a holistic approach. And one of those would be to get really skilled and at making what I love about Barbara simple and strategic. Simple and strategic questions is a part of this holistic approach to how we transform our own lives or our own medical journeys.
And I have to say, I'm coming from Europe, so we are super open to homeopathic remedies and all this. It's not as common over here in the US, and I would encourage people to look into that. Because, hey, women as old as time have gone through this. So how did other people get through it? There's got to be some herb out there. So I have tried several things, and it's been fantastic. It's a little bit of a trial and error. It's also not the, I take one and then I'm cured, right? It's got to build up a little bit in your body. It takes a little bit of patience. So you can't just drop the ball along the way. And it needs a little bit of a mixing and matching to get the right thing. And that's been super helpful. And now I have found this new product that has like everything that I've taken in many pills in one mix. And that's pretty amazing. And with every step, it's, hey, there's another little red flag popping up in my head. Like I was a little apprehensive using that new pill that I found because of the name. It's called Happy Mammoths. And I'm like, I'm not a mammoth. Why would I take that? No, I'm not going to be extinct, right? I'm not there. And long and behold, it was worth it because I am happy. And hell, maybe I am a mammoth. I'm fine with it.
No. And I want to say right here, guys, I'm putting the asterisk there, that Barbara and I are neither doctors or anything. And this is for educational opinion only here on what has worked for us. But I agree with you. An exploration and holistic to me continues to be expansive in my wellness journey. It's not a tight little circle. Whenever I see the word holistic, somehow it's always represented by a circle or something like that. And I'm not like that. We have to continue to expand where we are exploring. I'll give that a try. Or that one doesn't work for me. But that's engaging our own thing. That, and we're going back to number one, that one size doesn't fit all. But understanding that being open to trying numerous things is that holistic approach.
And also mentioning that holistic also means that I need to look at what's going on inside of me. How do I view myself as a woman? And what is my self-image? How do I view my body? Do I really love myself? So holistic also means I got to do some digging.
Absolutely. I see where you're going with that. And that's really important to understand, not just my version of that was the holistic about bringing in as many ways of healing as possible, but also it taking the time to examine, what does this change mean? I know I had a change in thinking who I was at first when someone all of a sudden gives you a possible deadly diagnosis. You start thinking about yourself different. And there's a lot of baggage around the word menopause as well. Mm-hmm. And all these different words. And what are our preconceived notions about all of these different words? And what does it mean to us about us?
And what did we grow up with? There's always a preconception of what was handed down to us, right? And do we need to redefine that and repurpose it into a more positive way?
We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Barbara about the remaining, I think we have the remaining three, and whatever else nerves are mine. So we'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with the amazing Barbara Whitman. She's a longtime friend of mine. She is the CEO of IT Zeitgeist, and she's a digital expert. And she has an article called Navigating the Parallels, Digital Transformation and the Menopause Journey. And what intrigued me about it, as we've been talking about, are how these 9 items she came up with also related to my journey in autoimmune healing. And we've been talking about the knowing nod. I really relate to that one. No one size fits all approach. The infinite learning curve, overwhelmed by data, partial truths, holistic approach. And when we had to change there for the quick commercial break, the number 7 we come back is embracing change. To me, menopause is a word that's charged with change. When I first heard the word, and Sharon, you're in perimenopause, I had a lot of stories behind that, a lot of metaphors I'd heard and made up or collected somehow. I had just a horrific idea of embracing the change that was happening was going to overwhelm me. That was my view of that.
It's not really tainted with positive things, right? And we hear the word and it's all sorts of pictures are popping up in our heads. But I think what we need to always remember is to piece these words apart. And one word is in there hidden. That is lost, and that is the pause, right? If we pause and really embrace change, it is much easier instead of being resistant. So it really is an attitude thing. How do I look at it? It's inevitable, right? I cannot push back on it. I can, but then it's going to be very unpleasant because my body is going to fight me tooth and nail. Do I want that? So embracing change and really leaning into it with the prospect that on the other end, I may come out as maybe a little bit wiser, a little bit more mature, and maybe a better version of me. It's a pretty good outlook.
That is. And I want to take a word the way the word maybe. I'm just going to have that. I'm coming out the other side as a better version of me. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. See? Yes. Absolutely. I had a question mark in there. No good. Yeah.
What I think about embracing change is constant. And it's just somehow this word menopause or any sort of medical diagnosis to mind is so charged with negative news and sadness and all of that, that it really, to me, and when you think about it very at the 30,000 foot level, change is change. It's just how you adapt to it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's how you adapt to it and what is the story attached to it. Adoption is one thing, but what is the storyline that keeps going in your head repeatedly? And how can you change that storyline? And that's when it gets interesting.
How do you change your storyline?
The chatter in my head is like restless, ever going, right? And I do know that with the chatter in my head and with the thoughts, I do create my reality. So it is all about implementing better habits and changing these things. So I work a lot with affirmations. And this to me is a daily thing I do. And I recorded my own affirmations whenever I have time. I do listen to them, and it's a 10-minute thing, and it keeps going. And it's all about you got to repeat it many, many times. You got to repeat it to believe it. So you just got to overpower all the other story points.
I like that you recorded your own voice. Oftentimes, when I'm trying to listen to someone else's meditation, and I know on the show I sometimes have meditations in there, but I understand that there's a slight disconnect whether I want to hear my own voice or I don't want to hear my own voice. Personally, I like hearing my own voice and my own affirmations and meditations. And yet it's an interesting thing about recording your own voice or having someone else record your affirmations is knowing that about yourself. Is it an outing that you appreciate, or is it the internal and hearing your own voice that is soothing to you? Which one is more soothing?
It's got a very different effect. The other thing that's super powerful is if you look in the mirror and you read your own affirmations, if you realize that when you watch your whole body gesture and your facial expressions, am I really believing what I'm breathing? I can do better than that. There are a couple of tricks.
Yeah, there are a couple of tricks. And it brings up an interesting thought in my mind. One of the things I use in my communications work is when people need to video themselves, they are very critical and they're like, no, no, I don't want to see it, or all that kind of thing happens. One of the things I like to do is have them coach that person on the video. Yes, it's themselves. Yes, it's them. However, coach themselves in third person. So I always say, watch your video as you, and you can be as critical, like, what was I thinking? My hair, gosh, the camera really does add weight, whatever it is. Say all of that out. Be as critical as you want. And then rewatch it. And by the third time or so that you're watching it, it's becoming normalized in my mind. That might not be the right word, but it's becoming normalized. And then coach yourself in third person. And I find that so helpful in embracing any sort of change. If I was to coach Sharon, I would tell her to fill in the blank. Breathe deeper. Right. Take a 5-minute break. Set the timer. So she's up every hour and walking for 10 minutes. And it's helpful sometimes when I talk to myself in third person.
It is. And the affirmations sound peachy, or coaching yourself in third person, but then there's always layers underneath, right? What is the root cause that some people don't want to see themselves on video or something else? It's like there is an underlying belief that keeps them small. So where the fun starts is digging a couple of layers deeper and really see, what is my belief about a certain thing? Sticking with that example of menopause, be truthful to yourself. What pops up? I am an old woman. That could be a belief, right? How do I change that? How do I put an affirmation on top of that, that I'm still beautiful and amazing?
I like that. And you're right. Menopause is one of those words that is really loaded with a lot of stories, not just my own story, but I've learned it from my mother line too. I'm thinking of my grandmothers when I was a child talking about it. And perhaps that's where some negative or less than positive things got embedded into my story about the whole journey.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So it's like plugging weeds in the garden, right? You plug one out, but then naturally something else wants to grow. If you don't fill it with something positive, the same thing grows again. You know, it's an interesting concept. So you have to plant something positive in its place.
You know what, though, I'm totally nodding along and agreeing with all of this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, part of me just goes, oh, wow. It can be overwhelming. I think the wellness journey can be overwhelming, and giving yourself some space and grace to to move through it.
But we're coming back to decoding the word, right? And let's not forget that pause always, right? Because we just need to cut ourselves some slack every now and again and say, hey, no, I just want to be, got to be nice to myself.
This isn't planned, but I find it so fascinating because we're down to number 8. And as I'm looking at number 8, it says completion time varies. And that is so true. I have friends that have started it very early and left it very late, and others who breeze through it no matter what they'll tell you was no time at all. To me, that is an ideal place to put that, giving yourself some space and grace to move through it.
And again, I can compare myself with others all day long, like with anything in life. And I can be resentful and be jealous and whatnot to say, what? Why did this one do it in 1 year? And I'm still, what did I do? Bad karma or something that could totally mess up the entire journey. Or I could say, hey, I'm a unique human and I can do it in my own pace.
I think we can say that about everything in our life too. And not comparing ourselves. The older I get, the less I care about comparing myself. I know when I was younger, high school age, all of that, that's almost like a comparison party. But yeah, it's just, I don't really care anymore, which I don't know. Is that a sign of getting older? I just don't really care.
I think that's a sign of feeling confident in who we are. And that is a fun side effect of accepting the aging journey and really embracing it. And yeah, what people don't realize, if you start comparing, you lose so much energy. It's, if I keep looking left and right, it's just, it's draining.
It is draining. And it's also a time waste because I'm like, if you come out of that, okay, I've just spent the last 10 minutes ruminating on left and right, and I could have been doing something fun for those 10 minutes. Time becomes more important as I've gone through the menopause journey. Time has become more important. And I don't know if that's just seeing family members, the little ones grow, and all of those time changes, and me being able to go, oh gosh, I remember what it was like to be in first grade, sixth grade, graduating college. And my mind, a lot of parts of my mind don't have a time frame. It's almost as if I'm right there again, which I find fascinating about the mind and how it relates to time.
I've also gotten more picky about who I spend my time with, because I definitely don't want to sit with people and have a cup of coffee and say, oh, right, the night sweats. Do you have those too? And so I don't want to, at this point in my life, I don't want to talk about problems so much. I want to talk about solutions. I want to talk about how to make this a joyful ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then number 9 is the importance of support. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We're just talking about friends and coffee. So the importance of support, that to me is a critical one, to have a large support network. Part of me always says that it's important to have more than one, at least, because I don't want to overwhelm the other one or make them feel like that's their job now or something like that. And I certainly don't want to fall in the trap of allowing that to happen.
It's getting support. What I mean by that really is a peer network. Sitting with friends is one thing, but then if you are sitting with peers, it's a slightly different purpose, right? It is a different quality of conversation because you are really exploring how you can grow together. And it's not about how to keep each other small or the chatter about talking about people and not about solutions. I'm also very selective at this point. How do I get my support network going and what kind of people do I surround myself with? And if we go by the theory that we become who we're hanging out with, dang, I got to do better.
I think
you're excluded, okay?
Yeah, okay. I can stay in the circle. Okay, that's good. Got me a little nervous there, Barbara. But no, it's true. I think about the people I hung out with going all the way back to college days, high school days. I don't see those people anymore.
Yeah.
It's just whether it's a bad thing or a good thing, I don't know, but I don't. I think the importance of support to me is also understanding how we can support ourselves and where do we need other support and giving voice to it, having honest conversations with people, because The last thing I want as I age, and this goes beyond menopause, I see it in my elders, is to make some one person think that they're responsible for my care and only they can do that or something like that. That's something I think about a lot, is the importance of support and having a strong network, but also then extrapolating that out. And what kinds of support do you need now? And what kinds of support will you need in the future?
Which goes back to asking the right questions, right?
There we are. I've said that about my work. And every time something's usually gone wrong, I think we could have asked a better question there to find that one little surprise moment out before this all started, right?
So, yeah, but that I like that because it talks about the diversity of people in the support network, right? That each brings a different angle to it. So it all becomes a big pie of things. And there's also an element to it of course, I want to share things that are near and dear, but I need to feel like I'm in a safe space.
Absolutely. And then one thing came to my mind as we were talking, because we've been friends a long time, was the importance of support on our conversation right now has just been about, I'll say, about the internal, like me, kind of thing. What about the question of how can I be a better support for my friends, family, and peer network? What is the external part of that? How do I become a better support for those that are walking alongside me?
That's a really important question. And you know what? I think we ask that not too often. What would happen if we were actually going to ask those who are closest to us and say, hey, you've done so much for me. How can I support you?
That's a great question, a starter question. But part of me, my first response, Barbara, if you ask that over coffee sometime, no, I'm good. I think I would brush it off. I would have to really stop and I'd say, thank you, I appreciate, or something like that. Wow.
But I fully agree. And it's our natural defense mechanism, right? We only go so far and we only show so much about ourselves. But I think it's also about creating the intentional space and really saying, hey, to a close group of people, let's meet once a month for the purpose of bringing what we need solving right now. And we can use the minds of the many to figure out a solution. So I think it's also about creating intentional spaces where we can ask questions and where we can go just a layer deeper.
And we're back to that question of safety that you mentioned not too long ago, is finding those support communities, support people, and cultivating that place where trust and safety is really paramount, really the one of the driving values behind it.
Right.
I don't know if it's as I get older, or I don't know if it's because of technology, that when I first opened my first business in my 20s, all my clients were local. Mm-hmm. And my community was local. And now, as through various businesses and opportunities and things and data, I'm pre-internet. I remember the old days, so to speak. Yes. Building those communities and finding those communities. In your experience with technology, and I know this is the person to ask, is it easier or harder? Because my friends like you are around the world now.
Yeah. It's a yes and. Doing a lot of Zoom meetings and Teams meetings, there is a connection, but it's different. I think we need to mix things up. We need to meet in person, but then make it a ritual, if you will, in an extended way. So I still meet with my clients, for example, and I'm pretty adamant of go and seeing them once or twice a year. But then we meet for a specific purpose and a reason, and we build things around it to really bond as people. And I think that's super important. And that's also important for groups of friends or peers or whoever. You can meet online as often as you want, but you need the in-person time. And that can be once a year.
I like that. I like that. And I was thinking about that and how many times during the pandemic, everything shifted for me. I'm still catching up with people where I probably was on the road a couple hundred days a year there before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I did lose track of a lot of people. And still at this point, catching up, oh, I haven't heard from so-and-so in such a long time, and sending an email or picking up the phone and really surprising them when my phone number and name appear on their, they're like, oh, I didn't expect you to call. But I find that fun.
Yeah. But good for you for reaching out. And I think that's great. See where they stand and if there still is that connection that was there before. So
it's good.
But yeah, we cannot think that technology is a total substitute for in-person collaboration and group dynamics and whatnot. It is a tool, and we always have to see it as a tool.
There's something about being in the same room, the same space with people, that you connect at a much deeper level. And you and I have been in the same space numerous times, and so I love seeing your face, and I can almost feel that connection that we have when we're in the same room together. And yet there's still this, oh, I can't hug her from here. I can't hug her from here. But we can send air hugs, right?
We can.
We're just down to the last couple of minutes. I know I've asked the majority of questions, but what would you like to share that I haven't touched on?
We touched on a lot of things, and I love the red thread that kind of emerged from it. It's like it kept going in waves, and I'm learning a lot of things here, and I'm learning that it's all about asking the right questions, right? So I got to sit with that a little bit and reflect on it once I get off this call. But it's been really fun, and the only thing I can encourage with people is use what's going on with you and reflect it into your professional and personal life. Make it a scavenger hunt. And what I discovered is what's going on for me in menopause is totally reflected in what I'm dealing with in a work environment. It may be a very strange connection, but at the end of the day, it's exactly the same thing. So what I figure out about myself, I can bring to my clients as a benefit, right? So it's a yin and yang kind of thing, and it goes back to this whole theory that what's within us is around us. So it is all a fun journey, and it all depends on the angle.
And one of the things I admire and adore about you, Barbara, is how comfortable you are with sitting with yourself and pondering yourself and choosing ways to enhance and improve and expand. It's just amazing. I love how your mind works, my dear.
I'm almost 50 and I'm starting to love myself. Who would have thunk? Good.
Bravo. Bravo. We're out of time, Barbara. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate this, and I love the article. To me, it was much more, I could see so many approaches to life in it and understanding that it's really not all that hard. I think it's a lot harder in our minds. We make it a lot harder than it really is.
It was great being with you, Sharon, as always. So we had some good laughs and we had fun along the way, and yay.
That's the most important part. Good laughs and fun along the way. Everyone, that's Barbara Whitman, and she's CEO of IT Zeitgeist. And I'll put her bio up on the show notes as well. So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures, and join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy. And before I go, be sure, if you're watching this on YouTube, to please subscribe below and also hit the little bell to get notified of when the next interview goes live. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for helping us grow YouTube.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.